Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
Libra des Gabahata. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Heavenly Father, move in this place in a special way. Thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for the manifestations of your glory in our midst. Thank you for the move of your spirit in our midst. Do your pleasure here this morning. Touch lives in a special way. You know us, you know our needs. You know how to meet our needs. You know how to speak to us. You know that which you have ordained for us. Lord, you know how to reveal the perfect future to us. Speak to us. Do a work that can't be undone. Do a work, and we vow to give you all the glory. We vow to give you all the praise. We worship you. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the church of our Lord Jesus Christ shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. Give the Lord a big, big clap offering of praise. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side, to your left and to the right. Make sure no one will remain a stranger. Make sure no one remains a stranger. Get to know their names and let them get to know your names. Praise the Lord. Hold that neighbor by his or her hands and call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David, I'm excited you're the one by my side today. Say, be a good neighbor. Let's tear up ourselves in the spirit. Something good is happening here today. Shout a big amen. I need to hear my voice better, please. Praise the Lord. All right. I'll go straight to the word. How many of us desire to live a life of absolute prosperity? Let me see your hands. If you don't desire it, keep your hands down. Let me see your hands. Are you sure? A life of wholeness. You know what it means? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Somebody say with me, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what the scripture said, it is well. When this, you hear it is well, it means that you live in peace and in prosperity. It means that you live in peace and in prosperity. That you prosper not just in some things, but what? In all things. And is it possible? Yes. Let's look at 3 John verse 2. Let's look at 3 John verse 2. Hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, hear the word of the Lord. And read to that neighbor. One, two, go. In how many things? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in how many things? How many of you want to prosper in all things? Are you sure? You want this scripture to be manifest in your life. Remember, the scripture said that you may or you may not, is a choice. You have to choose it. You have to choose it. You make the choice, and then you enjoy the consequence. So read again and read out loud. One to go. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. That you may prosper in all things. Wow. And be in health. Have the good health to enjoy it. And when you're in health, you're going to have a long life, right? Is that true? When you're in health, you have what? Long life. Be in health, just as your soul prospers. So you're wealthy, you're healthy, you're holy. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You enjoy the peace that God gives. You walk in the power of his anointing, the anointing of God's Spirit. You walk in the power of God. You are prospering spiritually. Your soul is prospering, and materially, and in other things, you're still prospering. Somebody say, that's my life. Boldly say, that's my life. I don't care what it is that you may be going through now. All you've got to do is to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Just listen. There is a way to it. I always use this scripture in John chapter 2 when Mary looked at the servants. When first of all she came to Jesus and said, this guy is having wedding. I don't know, they didn't prepare so well. Their wine is finished. And Jesus said, woman, what is it? It's not yet time for me to start doing these things outside here. She didn't answer. Knowing him, all his promises are yes. He doesn't say no. Yes. She just went to the servants. Knowing him, she just went to the servants. Whatever he tells you to do. Because she's observed him at home. She knows what the angel told. She knows this child is God in flesh. So he just told them, he's going to tell you to do something ridiculous. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So she prepared the servants before Jesus would start giving them instructions. Fill the water pots with water. Before he would start giving them instructions, she prepared the servants. Whatever he tells you to do. So your life may look ordinary as water. And you know, those jars were the jars they used to put in water that the Jews use for ceremonial washing. When you walk into a Jewish house, they have a jar of water where you come in and then you wash your hands, you wash your feet especially before you come into the house. And for a wedding, the Jews have the ceremonial washing. That's so it's washing water. And that's the place it's told them to go and put the water. Your life may look so ordinary. But when you learn to listen to Jesus, he turns ordinary water into wine. And not just wine. By the time they tested the wine, the master of ceremony called the bridegroom and said, everybody brings the good wine first. And when people are drunk, they can now bring out the worst wine. How did you reserve? They never tested something like that. By the time God is through with you this season, men will see that you're a wonder. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and declare, God is making a marvel out of me. Come on, say it with all grace and audacity of faith. God is making a marvel out of me. I'm a wonder to my world. I'm a wonder to my world. When somebody said there is no way someone can prosper in all things, God will show you forth and say, see it. You're going to be an evidence. Infallible proof. Infallible. That what we are saying is not motivational. It's not just encouragement. Does it motivate us? Yes. Does it encourage us? Yes. But the word of God is much more than that. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And the word of God became flesh. The word of God manifests itself. So that's very key. You understand that. Now, why am I getting us to this? Because we've been on a series. Somebody said the father-son order. Shout it louder. Say the father-son order. We have been on a series, and that's why we are standing on that series and we are teaching it over and over and over again. Whenever you notice I'm repeating something, it shows you the seriousness and the importance of that thing. I really want us to get it. That means there is a key there. There is a key there. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3. What is that one thing that the Lord is telling us that when we get it right, when we live by faith and walk in the revelation, in the light of what he's telling us, that we are going to see prosperity in all things. We are going to be in health even as our soul prospers. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is what? Right. For this is what? That's just what he says. Look at verse 2. I want you to hold that neighbor by his or her hands and read to that neighbor, one to go. Again? Honor your father and what? Mother. Which is the first commandment with what? Promise. There is a colon there. What's the promise? Everybody read verse 3 and read it out loud. That it may be what? Well with you. That you prosper in all things. That it may be well with you. And you may live long on earth. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. He didn't say honor your father and your mother when they arrive. No, he said honor them. He didn't say obey them outside of the Lord. He said obey them where? In the Lord. If your father tells you to go and prostitute, don't obey him. If your mother sends you to go and steal, don't what? Obey. Don't obey. Because every delegation of authority, hear me, every delegation of authority is upheld as the delegated authority follows after him who is the supreme authority. So if you hear in the scriptures, you hear the apostle say, if somebody like Apostle Paul, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Obey me as I obey Christ. So the day you see me walking in disobedience, walking away from Christ, stop obeying me at that moment. You get that? Stop following me at that moment. At that moment, get into serious intercession. Begin to pray for a repentance and a restoration of that man. So this is not just blind followership. This is not hero worship. This is principles, revelation from the word of God. Somebody say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Now, we have seen what the scripture said in Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5 and 6, I would like us to look at that. And that is one of the things that the enemy is working hard on. to make sure that there is a disconnection between children and this authority God has placed. And you have a natural authority and you have spiritual what? Authority. You have natural authority and you have what? Spiritual authority. The same way you have natural family, when God brings you into Christ, he brings you into a spiritual what? Family. And then he gives you a spiritual father, give you spiritual parents, give you shepherds, elder brothers, elder sisters, that will nourish you, that will care for you, that will support you, that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding, so you might increase. So you've got to understand that. Now, I'm going to read verse 5, and I would like you to join me in verse 6. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6. Everybody read with me and read out loud. One to go. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So wherever you see a disconnection between fathers and their children, children and their fathers, what you're going to see is a curse at work. That's what you're going to see. A curse at work. But whenever you see an establishment of that order, when God establishes that order, and there is a connection where you see the heart of the fathers moving towards their children and the heart of the children towards their father, and there is a connection spiritually, what you're going to see is it is well with the children and their days shall be long on earth. You see the blessing at work. So guess what? If you were to be the devil, and I know you are not, but you're smart enough. If you were to be the devil and you want to mess up a generation, what will you tempt them to do? Wave your hands. What will you tempt that generation to do? Dishonor their parents. Dishonor their fathers. What's happening online? Where people talk about their pastors anyhow, about spiritual fathers anyhow, and they feel like they are free to do so. Nobody can tell me anything. Nobody can instruct me. Everybody believes that they are smart, they are enlightened, they are empowered, they are liberated, they are not under anybody. Nobody can control me. And this is not about control. This is about divine order. Somebody say divine order. Come on, shall we say divine order? I want you to get it. This is very important. And while we're at it, I will want you to write this down. The word father in the Greek is pater. P-A-T-E-R. And in the Hebrew, especially the derivative from the Aramaic language, the Hebrew used a derivative that is Aramaic, Abba. Somebody say Abba. Abba. So you're going to notice those two words. They mean the same thing. Pater or Abba. A-B-B-A. That Hebrew has an Aramaic origin. Now, it means literally source and sustenance. A father is a source and he's a sustainer. He's a source and he's a sustainer. That word Abba, especially when the Hebrew man, when you hear a Hebrew man calls his father Abba, it's beyond source as sustenance. It's used in an intimate and respectful context. It shows intimate respect and reverence for a loving father. it has a loving context and a deep reverence to it. So when a child calls his father Abba, it means there is a strong connection, a relationship that is stemming from love and deep respect. And they share this intimacy together. That it is not just somebody being a sperm donor or somebody being in a positional place as my spiritual father in the church. There is a connection, an intimacy with it. Somebody say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Come on, say, I hear. Now, let's go and see. I want to give us 12 things. I'm going to be very fast, and I would like you to follow me as fast. 12 things that a father represents. And we are going to teach it until we understand the place and the importance of fatherhood in our lives. And for all of us who are men here, we are also going to be natural fathers to our children and to people that God will place over us. And we are going to be the priest over our house. So make sure you take this. This doesn't just apply to your spiritual father in the church. Very, very important. Number one, a father is a source. A father is a source. Number one, it means an originator, a starter, a beginner. So in a house, a family is started by a father. And that's why you can't have two fathers in a house, because you can't have two originators. A father is a source, an originator, a starter. Number two, a father is a sustainer. A father is a sustainer. Who is a sustainer? Someone that upholds, maintains. Someone that upholds, maintains, and keeps in existence what he has started. So what a father starts, he sustains. A father does not start a family to abandon the family. A father starts a family to uphold, maintain, and keep that family in existence. In the house of God, the spiritual father is a spiritual means of sustenance. That's how God sustains believers that he brings into his house. Number three, a father is a seed bearer. A seed bearer, a seed planter, and a seed giver. That's what he is. A father is a seed bearer, a seed planter, and a seed giver. For example, by the grace of God, the Lord has made me a spiritual father over Lamb Global and over so many people around the world. When the Lord starts talking to me about Lamb, or there is something I'm beginning to see, for example, I started growing in my spirit concerning the financial state of people, especially with what is happening in our nation. How people are going through. You know, every time people come, oh, they say, Pastor, and some who are not even saying Pastor, you look at them, you look them in the eyes, you can tell what's going on. The father is the one that will plant the seed that will bring that kind of harvest. You want your children to start enjoying financial prosperity. That's why in that place of prayer, that burden in my heart, crying, telling God, something was born that for the next 3 months, we should focus our church for pros specifically on working on people and empowering people for financial prosperity. You see, Whatever in a church like this, whatever you want the church to become, you plant the seed. And the word of God is seed. You start teaching it, you start planting it, you start giving it, and then that thing happens. A father doesn't just sit down. A father determines the future of the family. Somebody say, I hear. Give God praise if you're getting it. I didn't just tell you to clap. Give God a real praise. Give him a real praise. So a seed bearer determines, one, the harvest of the house. Two, the future and the continuity of the house. What you call succession. That's what the father is. He's a seed bearer. He's a seed bearer. He's a seed bearer. Number four. A father is a foundation. A father is a foundation. What's a foundation? The base and load-bearing part of a building. The load-bearing part of a building. The load, the structure upon which everything else is built. Everything else comes on the shoulder of the father. So people without fathers are people without certain seeds. People without fathers are people without foundations. A father is a foundation. A father is a foundation. Number five. I'm just moving fast because of time. A father is an extension of divine authority. Make sure you're right. Am I too fast? A father is an extension of divine authority. A father is an extension of divine authority. So God maintains order by delegating the authority to govern a family to a father. That's how order is. When you have two captains in a ship, there'll be disorderliness. And there'll be division. One will say, I am for this person. Another will say, I am for this person. So that's why God maintains there is only one father in a family. There are no two fathers in a family. You can have uncles, you can have aunts, you can have elder brothers, you can have elder. Even in polygamous homes, you can have many mothers, but you can never have two fathers. Wave your hands if you're getting it. There is always one authority that God places. One authority. So that a father is an extension of divine authority. Number six. A father is a nucleus of divine order. What is a nucleus? Core. Is the core. A father is a nucleus of divine order. The core that determines values and creates order in a family. That core that determines, and that's why I always warn people. I remember God giving me a spiritual father that will raise me and mentor me in ministry. That's Reverend David Obwili. And I go to meet him, and then prayerfully, I prayed, fasted, and the Lord led my spirit, led my hand, and said, that's the one that will raise you in ministry. So I go to meet him, because sometimes the people who raise you in Christ may not be ministers to raise you in ministry. Praise the Lord. Wave your hands if you're getting what I'm saying. So, and I go to meet him, and I submitted to him, and we all finished talking. And I remember my earthly father one day, we were having a discussion, and he wanted to give his honest contribution. It was an honest, but you know, he had not yet been schooled in the things of the spirit at that moment. He was my earthly father, but spiritually at that moment, he was just giving his life to Christ. He was still even a breakfast, he has not even gotten to childhood. He was newborn babe in Christ. And He wanted to, you know, nobody wants his son, and he knows me, to go and say he's submitting to someone else and he's following. No natural parents wants that. They want to be, you know, and he was trying to give me, and I said, Daddy, don't go there. Don't touch that die. What we discussed that day, he never touched it again in his life. Never touched it again in his life. He was trying to point out, I didn't allow him to finish. I said, don't touch that die. That's a holy place. Don't touch. If you love me and you want it to be well with me in ministry and you want me to prosper in ministry, don't touch that. Don't even go there. Don't. You don't have any contribution in this one. You don't. And then one day, I've had one or two, you know, experiences. A man came into my office with all the regalia and different things. I've never met him before. And a young guy. And he's wearing all the bishop things, attire, and comes into my office, just came to visit. He has been hearing about Lamb, what God is doing in this city through Lamb. Oh, wonderful. So he said, the other day I was in Enugu with my boy, Reverend David. He called him David Obueli. I say, sir. I say, yes. The moment he said, I say, sir. I say, stand up. He said, what? I say, stand up. Leave my office now. There was no discussion. It was like, do you know? I say, leave now. Or do you want to be bundled out? That was the end. I had another of a Dominion City pastor who had one issue or the other, and they relieved him from Dominion City. And because he was friendly with me before, decided to come and visit, knowing that how close I am with Reverend David. And then he comes, and I didn't even know. He was not the one telling me he was relieved. I was like, wow. So, are you okay? What happened? And he wanted to say, so I said, stop. He said, I say, you can't say that. I didn't walk him out. God gave me tact and wisdom. I stopped him immediately and ushered him out with wisdom. And that was the last time we ever met. Why? I can never take a report against my father. What God told me when I was going to follow Reverend David is, follow after the faith of those. Somebody say faith. Now, men of faith have flaws. What did I say? Shout it louder. Shout, every father has flaws. But my mission is to follow what? Their faith. You know the secret about their faith? When you know these men have flaws, and yet you see the grace of God, is because of their faith. You also, you that have flaws, can now know your flaws won't limit you. If you understand their faith, you will enjoy the grace. But you know what people go investigating their faults. Let me warn you. You cannot handle the mistakes of your father. That's why it is the wisdom of God never to look upon the nakedness of your father. There is another person that can correct your father, not you. The knowledge of the fault of your father will embolden your heart. First of all, it will discourage you. Second of all, it will destroy you. Third of all, it will now embolden your heart to become reckless. How many of you understand? When the devil wants to destroy a man, he tempts you to look upon the nakedness of your father. When God wants to raise a man, he inspires you to focus on the faith of your father. The faith of your father. Fathers are nucleus of divine order. So what the devil does is that whenever he wants to destroy a generation,
he begins to make them see the imperfection, the faults, and the flaws of their father. He discourages them, and that generation becomes reckless. Once you can no longer respect your father, you will go haywire. If you understood me, say, I understood. Stay away. My natural father called me one day. Somehow he was beginning to sense it was time for him to leave. And he wanted to make a confession. As a son he's close to. And he said, Pastor, there is something bothering my heart. I want to tell you. I think I need to open. Even though I know God forgave me. And I say, stop there, sir. I say, you can't tell me. It will destroy me. I say, you have a pastor. I'm not your pastor. I'm your son. As much as I'm a pastor, I'm not your pastor. Where is the phone? Let me call your pastor now. I say, call him. I'm leaving the room. Tell your pastor. I can't look up. Who he is whom he must maintain to be in my face. The day you involve yourself in a conversation that opens the nakedness or slanders your father, after it watch, you stop receiving. That's how it works. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you sure? And let me put it here and never forget what I'm about to say. The spirit that is eager to investigate the sins of fathers and to broadcast it is a spirit of rebellion. Because that spirit knows that that's exactly what will make sons rebel against their father. Stay away from it. Help me tell 3-4 people by your side. Say, stay away from it. Come on, say, stay away from it. Number 7. A father is a priest. A father is a priest. A father stands in the presence of God on behalf of his family. He is an intercessor that stands in the presence of God on behalf of his family. A father also teaches and leads his whole house to know, to love, and to fear God. That's what a priest does. He takes leadership in teaching his house to know God, to love God, and to fear God. That's who a father is. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4-9. Write it down and then we'll read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4-9. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Whoever is on my screen has to be very fast. From verse 4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Lift your hands in worship, in honor. Everywhere, at the back, at the gallery, everywhere. Lift your hands. Say, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. The Lord our God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is one. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Verse 5. I want you to hold your neighbor and be the voice of the prophet to the neighbor. One, two, go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. One more time. Verse Verse 6. Shall be where? Verse 7. Now watch this. Verse 7, continue. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. He said, teach them. That's the priest. That's what the father does. Teach them diligently to your children. Teach them diligently to your children. Verse 8. Continue. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. Verse 9. Write them where? On the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Surround your whole household. Make it an atmosphere of righteousness, of godliness, of the revelations of God's word. Model it, teach it, instruct, lead, and then stand in the gap. I'm sorry for any man here under the sound of my voice who thinks that the way to love his family primarily is by providing money. Let me give you a warning. When you make the only thing you do in your family providing money, you will be an ATM. The least remembered are the ones who give money. Money cannot buy you the heart of a person. I'm telling you the truth. I give money and I've lent it the hard way. Money can never buy you the loyalty of any man, including your wife and your children. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now. The man that is most revered in life of any man or woman or any child is the one who makes eternal investment, who teach them God, show them God. That's why some men are angry that their wives and their children respect their pastors more than them. You didn't hear what I said. They can fake it, but it can never be real. Nobody honors you more than when you become a priest. The highest currency on earth is spiritual currency. That's the highest currency on earth. And whoever raises a man and a woman has the best part of their heart. I'm telling you. That's why there are people that give to their pastors more than their natural parents. It ought not to be so, but it is so. Because they have no heart connection. They have no emotional connection to their parents. So sometimes they just do things out of a sense of duty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is restoring order back in our families. All the young men and young women here, teach your sons, teach your brothers, teach all of you that are here. Save this knowledge. Know the things that are more valuable than money. Money is important, but money is not the most important. Wave your hands if you are in church. Somebody say, I hear. And that is the work of a spiritual father in a home. He's a priest over you. He's a priest over you. A few days I was praying in the spirit and the Lord said, I even had a discussion just a little with Mama and I. We talked about things. And then I said, I'm praying in the spirit and the Lord said, prayer alert. I said, Lord, it's a prayer alert. And I sent out a prayer alert this thing to. That's what a priest does. While everybody else is busy, there is someone that is watching.
As they go, may they come back safely. As they go, may they excel wherever they go. May they not be ashamed at the gates. Father, wherever they go, make them a wonder. May they be preferred. May doors of favor be opened to them. No evil will come near their dwelling. There is somebody that must stand. While Joshua, his son, was fighting in the field, there is a Moses holding up his hands behind. When Moses raised their hands, when fathers raised their hands, children will return from the battle. And not only will they be returning from the battle, they will return triumphant. I speak over you. You are going to be returning triumphant. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raise your hands wherever you are. I raise my hands and release the blessing of a father over you. You will never be ashamed. You will never be defeated. The Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the health of your countenance. The Lord is a light in your heart and a light unto your path. You will never stumble in darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you'll always win. You'll always triumph. Your path shall be a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you will never know rising and falling. Your path shall be upward and forward only. I say upward and forward only. From glory to glory. From victory to victory. From success to success. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Stand on your feet and lift your hands everywhere. Kelly Brata, pray in the spirit now. Stand up. Pray in the spirit. Come on, don't be disconnected. Don't be distracted. Don't be spiritually lazy. This is a moment. This is a moment. This is a moment. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. The divine order is being established in the church, in homes, in our families. The divine order. The divine order is being established. The divine order is being established. In the name of Jesus. Leko shata. Le nekita zundeli bregede. Le brede zundeli bragataya. Le yarido sandaya. Lift your hands. Lift it high. Whatever had been in disorder and has been dysfunctional because of a dysfunctional relationship with your spiritual father or with your earthly father or whoever was a father figure in your life, and whatever the enemy did there to bring that disorder, in the name of Jesus and by the blood that speaks over us, that same blood that was shed on Calvary tree, the blood of Jesus Christ, I command, come back to order. Every disorderliness in your life is reordered now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands. Oh, I pray somebody is open to receive this. Whatever has been resisted, delayed, denied, sabotaged, aborted, destroyed, because of ignorance in walking in this principle in the past, today, as you connect in faith and you walk in the light, I decree and declare, it's restored back to you a multiple fold. It's restored back to us a multiple fold. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you. You prosper in all things. You be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your days on earth shall be long, satisfying days. In the name of Jesus, with long life, the Lord satisfies you. You will not know the struggles of your fathers. No, for the glory of the latter shall be greater. You shall be greater than your fathers.
in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Somebody give him a mighty praise this morning. Oh, you better bless him this morning.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.